The amount of love that you have for your child is beyond. Like, I would do anything for both our kids. You don't realize how much love you could have for somebody else. Like, I love them so much. That's something else that I really like about being a mom.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Snacks. I'm Sam Uis.
And I'm Lynn Williams, and this is a show about women's soccer, but it's also about how I got my couch.
Yay!
Finally.
Can we see it?
No. I mean, after, because, you know, I have a whole setup here.
Yes, so. After. And also, Marley's coming today.
Are you so excited? I'm so excited. He was supposed to be here now. He was supposed to be here last night. But to get into the U.S. and to leave Australia, you need an ESTA, like is a, like an electronic visa. Naturally, he forgot. And usually you can do it at the airport. It takes 10 minutes, but he updated his passport. So it took more than 10 minutes.
Oh,
so
no.
He missed his first flight. So he had to go back home and then re-get on the same flight path and everything just a day later. So
oh, Marley B.
Boys.
Silly, silly boy.
Silly, silly boy.
But that's okay. He'll be here today.
I know. I'm so excited. I am getting the house prepared.
In order.
Yes.
Okay. Here is what we're doing today on the podcast. Games, games, games. Lots of crazy NWSL results. And Lynn has been on the road for what seems like weeks, scoring goals left, right, front, back, up, down, in, out.
Not out, in.
In. All of them go in. They just all go in.
Later we have Allie Krieger and then a very special Mother's Day surprise. But we'll get to that. So let's chat.
Let's chat.
Let's chat it up about soccer. Okay, so Challenge Cup last week.
No, the biggest story of the weekend. Lynn can't stop scoring. That was the headline, everybody.
Apparently, that's the biggest story.
It's my biggest story.
I saw the, everybody kept being like, congrats on this record. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And it was like, I guess the record for scoring the most goals, like in all competitions.
Oh,
I beat Sam Kerr. And so I told Christy that she has to tell Sam she's a peasant to me now.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if she did, but that's cool.
That is very cool, Lynn. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So your Challenge Cup game last week, you tied 1-1. Mm-hmm. You came off the bench to score your fifth goal in 7 games, which was more than any Gotham player in all of 2022.
According to OptJack. At OptJack.
Shout out OptJack. Then on Sunday, Lynn scored again as Gotham beat Chicago 2-1. That was her, this is what we're talking about, 103rd goal contribution. So goals and assists across all NWSL competitions.
Passing Sam Kerr, who had 102.
Correct. Do you, Lynn, do you feel like you're playing like some of the best soccer of your career right now?
Honestly, no, I don't. I feel like I am scoring at a higher percentage, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just different. I feel like in the NWSL, I've only played kind of one system, which is the two front in North Carolina. And then obviously in Kansas City, I played one game. So that doesn't really count. I feel like right now my defensive pressure has been pretty good. But in the other systems, and especially when we were playing a box, like just my role was different. Whereas mm-hmm. my role now, I feel sometimes like I'm like, oh, I just barely touched the ball. But I guess that's just how the system works. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but when you do touch it, it's like always in dangerous spots.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But no, like I feel like I'm just continuing to get better and better. I always say this, Mel, our sports psych keeps saying like you got to stop saying this, but I'm like I feel like I'm getting back to myself, but I'm not there yet. So I feel like every game I'm like, okay, my fitness is getting a little bit better. The taking on people is getting a little bit better. My shot's better, but it's been like a year, so I just. It's like baby steps. I don't know. I'm just on a grind right now. I'm just putting my head down and grinding and trying to stay like mellow. Cause I feel like when you get too high, it's like it can fall off at any moment. And when you get too low, you're like, you can't get out of it. So yeah, I think it's like awesome. I'm scoring goals, but I just think I need to stay like here. And what I've already done is in the past. And so I just have to keep doing it every time.
Yeah, totally. Well, whatever you're doing is working great. So just, I would just advise you to keep on doing it.
Just keep on keeping on,
you know? So other games, Washington beat San Diego 3-1, which Washington has now matched their win total from last year. So they're off to a great start, especially compared to last year. And they're one of only two teams without a loss, along with Portland.
That is correct. Another Sam Kerr record broken was Trinity Rodman has passed her as the youngest player to have 10 goals and 10 assists. So Sam is a double peasant. Just kidding. She's going to be like, I'm never going to come back on snacks.
She will. She'll get a good laugh out of that one.
Yeah. But I've been seeing and people on Twitter and stuff asking if it's time that she comes back to NWSL. Like, now that her record's broken, does it mean it's time? We'll find out.
Maybe. Yeah, we will. Yeah, someday we will find out.
Another game was Angel City versus Kansas City. Angel City won 3-2. A wild game. Alyssa Thompson had a banger of a goal from like a crazy angle. Mm-hmm. Good for her. It was 3-0 at the half, and then KC came back and scored two goals. So
I know. Kansas City like kind of came out from halftime flying, which was great to see. Do you think, Lynn, like if you were down 3-0 at halftime, you come back out, you score two goals, but you still lose, is like the most important thing to take away from that? Like, I don't know. What's the lesson there? Do you count that as like a plus call, anything in the plus column for scoring goals to come back? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think like on one hand, you're proud of yourselves for fighting back and not just rolling over. But on the other hand, you're like, if we can do this in one half, what happened to the first half?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's always like the most important thing about losing is like what you learn from it. And this, I feel like, was a perfect example to just take, well, we were capable of scoring, we were capable of playing better. So I feel like it, just seeing the opportunity in that and turning that over to the next game is what's really important about it.
I agree. And then on the reverse side of that, I think that LA has to ask themselves, like, how do we let this happen? We're up 3-0. So I think that even though they win, you have to ask yourselves questions of like, we got scored on twice. And then reverse of that, Kansas City has to learn from that as well.
Yeah, for sure. North Carolina tied Portland 3-3, which was another crazy game. Crystal Dunn scored two goals. It was her first full 90 since being pregnant, which is super exciting for her. She's just on the up, as always, it seems. Olivia Moultrie scored in the 83rd minute. What would you have done, Lynn, if when you were a teenager, this going right into the league seemed like a good option at that time? Like, do you think you would have considered that?
Yeah. I think that now that, well, it depends. Like, how good am I? But I think it depends. But I also think that, like, money is so much better now in the league. Opportunity is there. It's just, there's, people are bypassing college left and right.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it's like a chance. Like, but I guess that's everything in life. But you're just, like, taking a chance that this is going to work out. For us, this obviously was different because you couldn't. And also, we were making $12,000. So I don't think our parents would have gone for that. I'm going to drop out and I'm going to go make $12,000. They'd be like, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, I know. I think back on it all the time and I'm like so grateful for the experience that I had in college. I think I like grew into an adult, which was important for me. But I'm also like almost jealous. Imagine if I had been training in a professional environment from 16, how like good I could have been. Gotten.
Well, you were and are amazing. So,
oh, well, thank you. But do you know what I mean? Like, just the opportunity to train at that level and have that commitment. Mm-hmm. Like, I know like times were different, but like if it was now, I just feel like it's such an incredible opportunity to like become the best player that you could possibly be by inserting yourself into a competitive professional environment at a young age. I think it's such a cool opportunity, but there's always, like you said, a chance and a con to like, I think going away to college can be really valuable as a person as well, where you like learn how to critically think and you learn how to live on your own and you learn how to do all these other like life skills. And I had a great college soccer experience. So it's just super interesting to think about like how it's changed and how it could change the progression of players from teens into their adults.
Well, I think you look at it on the men's side and like men have been doing this for a long time, in the EPL, and they have like a feeder system and they're able to, and some of those young guys get up to go into the Premier League or whatever. And we just don't have that, or we didn't have that.
Yeah.
And now we are having it. So that was a weird way to say that, but now we are having it. So I think it's awesome. I personally loved my college career and I think there was like a lot of life lessons that I learned and got to do that I wouldn't take back. But on a career side, it would have been really something.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. But these young teens, like they have to be mentally strong too.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of pressure is on them, and for them to be able to navigate that and be like, yeah, I'm going to step up and do it. Kudos to them.
Props to the teens. Oh, well, with that said, we have Allie Krieger coming on for a conversation that you do not want to miss, and we'll be right back with her. Lynn, do you want to intro?
Okay.
Drop roll.
She's a two-time Women's World Cup champion. She's a three-time NWSL Best 11 player, a CONCACAF champion, a UEFA Champions League champion, a two-time She Believes Cup winner, mom to Sloan and Ocean, and so many other things. Welcome, Allie Krieger.
Oh, thank you. A lot that I won with both of you. So
I was going to say, hopefully we do it again this year.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. You need to do it. I'm your biggest fan. So, for club, you mean? Yeah. Club is like, we're going to crush. I think we could do it.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. That's the goal. Yeah. That's
Krieger, what is Lynn like as a teammate?
Oh, she's amazing. What do you mean? She's like scoring all the goals, carrying the team on her back. It's like, it's insane. I'm like, now I don't have to defend her, which is really nice. I can like, you know, breathe a little.
Yeah. Lynn, what's Krieger like?
Incredible. She's such a good captain. Incredible. I feel like I've heard so many stories about how people are like, she's such a good teammate. She's such a good captain. And I was like, oh, well, I want to experience that. And now I get to. And stop, just to see stop, like, stop. Well, no, it is. I'm like, first of all, I don't know how you're still doing it. Bless your heart.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday and everybody was appalled to hear that I was like 38 still kicking. So that was really fun. And then Kelly was like, well, if I see you chasing people down, I better get my ass in gear.
The other day you like chased somebody down and turned the ball and like kept possession with such ease. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's so like graceful.
So graceful.
She takes the touch out, looks up.
I have to tell this story though. One time when we were playing against you, I was with North Carolina and you were with Orlando. You were defending me and you were like trying to shield it to go out of bounds. And I was like, I'm just going to jump around her and try to poke this. And you almost pantsed me. Like there's a video of my butt on the internet because you
pulled out my pants. I don't even remember that. I don't even remember that.
I literally was like,
Lynn, people do desperate things to try to stop you sometimes. So yeah, she had to do it.
Well, how out? Like, what else am I gonna do?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Well, I didn't get the ball, so.
Well, you're too busy trying to pull up your pants. You're like, listen, sis. No, but it's so nice to play with you, and because you just, I feel, I don't know, it's exciting also playing in the back and just watching you play too, and like creating chances, and we didn't necessarily have that last year, and so. You've just like elevated the front line completely. Cool. And yeah, it's just nice to also play with you again because national team, I really missed that. And I never knew if that would happen again. So I remember talking to you like when the trade happened and everything. I was just really excited for that next chance, you know, to be your teammate. So it's been really enjoyable and we're going to do good things. I mean, you're already crushing it. So
I've really enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, Krieger, what is your goal with Gotham for this season?
To win all three titles. Like, I have been but I'm, like, so determined to win. Like, we were so close, and it was against you two, actually, when you were on the Flash, like, right before you guys went to North Carolina, and we played you in the final when I was with D.C., and Lynn scored in the last 20 seconds. And I was just like, that was it, you know? And I, ever since then, I've been itching to get back to that opportunity and chance. And so, you know, this final year, not that I won't feel complete, right? Because we've all done like so many amazing things. And I've really enjoyed the game so much up until now. And so nothing will change in that way. But I feel like it'll just be kind of the icing on the cake. And it's something that I really want to win because it would mean a lot to be like an American champion, you know, our country's, you know, highest level of soccer, you know, besides the national team, like your champions. And that would be really cool.
Yeah. That girl in 2016 really sucked. That girl sucked. I'm so sorry she did that to you.
Listen, look at you now. You guys were, you guys just finished the game. It was better. So And I missed the PK. I mean, I think we had like three misses that game anyway.
Sabrina D'Angelo made three saves. We had a Cinderella season. It was It was just like destiny.
You were just like one game after the next. I was like, whoa. So anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Last question, then I'm going to let Lynn ask something. But I wanted to know you guys' travel vibes. What do you expect the other one to be doing on the bus, on the plane, in the locker room? What's the vibe?
Well, does Krieger have a child with her or not?
if that's what you imagine when I say bus vibe, then yeah.
Well, it changes my answer. If she has a child, she's tending to them, feeding them snacks, making sure they're great, doing the mom thing. If she doesn't, then I think you're like spending time alone because you're like, I finally get alone time.
Yeah. I'm literally like, lose my number. Everyone, don't even look at me. Like, don't even ask me to do anything. Like, I just want to be left alone. I don't know. But no, Lynn's right. Like, if Sloan or Ocean are on the trip, I'm like strollers and bags. And I mean, all the other moms know exactly how it feels. But when I'm alone, I'm like, get to take a breath. And it's nice to have that again, just to like worry about myself and just focus on the games. And
what's Lynn's vibe?
You sit in the back, don't you, on the bus? You're like super helpful with all the bags. You're making sure like people like have all that they need. Like, I think our whole team is pretty much like that. But yeah, you're like making sure you are helping and like get on the bus, and your vibes are always good and positive. Like, you're giving your best all the time. And I don't know, that like, you just have a really positive energy and like both on and off the field. And that's just really, I don't know.
Is this a compliment Lynn podcast? Jeez, I feel like I'm like uncomfortable with how nice. Like,
I don't know. I feel like our whole team is really like, hey, like, do you guys have everything you need? I grab a bag? Can I help? Like, even if it's not something we have to do, it's, I don't know.
I agree. I think that especially like this trip we've had, because it's been such a long road trip, we've had a million bags, like 1 billion bags. It's a scene. And everybody's been very helpful. Like, people have been walking down from like the baggage carousel to the bus with like 4 or 5 bags just like piled on top of themselves.
Hopefully we're going to be changing that, you know, we gotta be changing that because we're all just like, okay.
Okay. So we want to just like segue a little bit into your retirement.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of this season, you announced that this will be your last season. Sad for the soccer world, but like, how does one know that it's time?
You know, it's funny you say that because I feel like a lot of athletes who've already retired, they kind of say, you just know, like, you just, mm-hmm. you just have this feeling, you just know. And I kind of just knew. I feel like, not that I don't have as much fun, but I, you know, with the kids and as I'm getting older and my body, you know, I'm starting to feel it. And then once I told myself that when I was younger, I'm like, listen, once I start to feel that, because I do want to eventually be able to play with the kids when they get older, and I don't want to have to be like, you know, worried about how my body's going to be feeling and it breaking down sooner rather than later. So I just know it's time, and the players are getting younger and younger, and I'm, you know, obviously just getting older, and I'm like, okay, how long am I going to be able to chase these 20-year-olds around? Like, this is a scene. So I wanted to announce it early because I wanted to give the fans a chance to come to the games, because I know that, you know, they probably would have been a little upset if I would have announced it at the end of the year, and then they would have said, hey, I should have gone, or should have, could have, would have, and they would have been, you know, because they've given so much to not only me and to the game, but I think they deserve that celebration, and because, you know, they've motivated me this whole time to be at this level. So it's only something a small thing I could do for them.
Krieger, I feel like you are like one of the most celebrated, loved players. Like, I feel like you are just such a like icon of our time, like to the fans, as you should be, like to us, you are as well. And this is even just hearing you say, I wanted to give something back to them and like have them come see me play and sell it. Like, that's just so cool that that's your perspective. And I love that so much. You've had a 17-year career,
yeah,
which is like, again, It's so incredible. It's such a testament to how hard you've worked and how good you've been. But people overlook like how much that takes. And my gosh, being on the national team for so long, staying in the league for so long, do you have a secret to staying in form, staying healthy, staying competitive for so long?
One is mainly just worrying about what you can control. You know, there's going to be times where, you know, coaches might not like you. You know, you might go through fights with adversity and injury, and you know, you might not be playing your best at some points during your career, and you have to have that mental capacity to really and that positivity to really stay within the game and the level that you want to play at, because times aren't always great, as we know. Like, the you know, shit happens, and being a professional athlete is like such a risk, and both physically, mentally, emotionally. But once you get here, people think, oh, I made it. You know, I really made it, and I'm just happy to be here. But it's actually having that mental state that really can keep you here. So like how you choose to kind of apply that mental part of the game every single day, and that self-talk is really, I think, what has helped me stay here for so long. Because emotionally and physically, like, it's I could get on the line all day and run, right? It's like you don't want to, but you're able to physically do it. But mentally, are you, through all the adversity and everything that, you know, kind of comes your way and is thrown at you, whether that be on the field, off the field, fans, you know, talking shit to you, fans supporting you, coaches might not, you know, like you that day, maybe they like you the next week. It's like, you know, teammates maybe not playing their best and you're having to carry the team, or vice versa. You're not maybe playing your best, your team's having to lift you up. Like, there's so many different moments, the travel, the accommodation. I mean, there's so much to kind of, you know, unravel and all the layers piled on to just being an athlete 24/7 for this amount of time. You really have to be strong mentally. And I think that is something that I've tried to control myself throughout my career this whole time.
I love that, because I think that obviously my career has not been as long as yours, but at the beginning you do think that you're like, okay, I've made it, and now like it's going to get easier from here, and it just doesn't. It never does. It like stays hard the whole time. You just kind of get better at accepting the hardness, I guess. Like, you're just more comfortable with the hard. But I agree with that, because you can, like, the, you know what to do. Like, once you get to a point, you're like, okay, this is what I do when I want to feel my physically best, and this is how I can get on the line. And at some point, like, you're not learning that much with soccer anymore. You're like, it's little incremental gains, but it's the mental side. Like, you could be in the best physical shape and whatever and feel your best, but if you're mentally like, I don't know why this is, I'm at a mental block, your game is just so low. And then it's like a way, how do you climb out of that and fix that? So I love that. Like, it just never gets easier.
No, it doesn't.
Coming to terms with that was hard.
And the strongest really do survive, right? Like, you, even if and then not even club, right? And then we jump to the next level, to the national team. And that's a whole nother beast, right? Because it's the best of the best. And you have to figure out, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and figure out how to stay here for this amount of time. Like, I got to beat people out every day. Like, I gotta show up and be my best every day. That takes a toll on some players, right? And so you have to really, like, be able to sit with yourself and mentally kind of, you know, recharge and figure out, okay, like, how can I be my best every day, like, mentally as well, on top of the physical part of the game.
Krieger, have you, like, reflected on any moments throughout your career that were particularly hard, but like ultimately got you to a better place?
Yeah, I think through my injury, I think in 2012 when I tore my ACL, that was probably one of the most difficult moments of my life, because I was on cloud nine after the 2011 World Cup, got to the final. I was like making my mark in the team. I was playing some of the best football I thought I was playing at the time. And it all just kind of came crashing down. And you have no control over it. It's just something that happens. Like I said before, it's such a risk to play at this level. And, you know, you never know if it's going to be your last game. And you have to just try to enjoy every second of it and every opportunity, as you know. And I think that moment in time, I was really struggling. because you think, okay, well, am I going to come back? Am I even going to be able to put on my boots again? Am I going to be able to play? Because not everybody's injury really goes the way that people assume. Like, sometimes the process is a little bit different and people react different to, you know, different injuries. And so people are like, oh, yeah, I got back in 5 months. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, Olympics are like, you know, 6 months down the line. Can I make it, you know? But it took me 14 months to really feel like I was back to myself. But I went through some really shitty times just emotionally and mentally through that experience. But I ended up focusing so much in my rehab on like the stabilizing exercises and the recovery that I never really did before. And I came back even stronger. I was such a better player after that experience. And I was like, wow, like everything does happen for a reason. Like maybe I wouldn't have been at this level for so long if I hadn't had gone through that injury. So I kind of tried to spin it a little bit. And then the second time I really struggled was when I got let go or fired from the national team in 2017. And I lost 2 years with the team and I didn't really understand why. And we've already like, probably everyone's probably heard this multiple times, but that was another moment in my life that was in my career and my personal life that was really difficult to overcome because you just didn't have a reason. It was like breaking up with somebody and you never had closure because you didn't really know the reasons why. And then I didn't know really what to work on to improve, you know, in my game and like what did I do so that I can like get back out there and like practice and like train and figure out like how I can better myself to get back on the team. So that was a low moment, I think, for me. And that's when Ashlyn actually bought me the dog, Logan. She got Logan because she's like, when I go away to camp, you need someone around to like
the therapy dog. Like,
yeah. So like Logan kind of saved me in a way. I feel like she's so loyal too. Like she would, you know, do anything for me, but we built that bond, I think, through that really difficult time, Logan and I, and I'll cherish that forever because that was really hard.
I have two different questions because I feel like the difficult times were obviously completely different reasonings. So my first question is, obviously, back in 2012, we didn't have the resources that we do now,
right?
Like mental health and well, I think we still need to improve when it comes to like rehab and ACL. Obviously, there's like a little bit of an ACL epidemic going on. But how did you work through that? Did you talk to somebody? How did you work through that mental struggle?
I didn't have anybody specific that I spoke to other than just like my family members. At that time, I wasn't in therapy, as in mental health, and talking to a therapist. That came about, I don't know, a few years later. But I was playing actually in Germany during that time. So I had to go back to Germany to do my rehab. I was thinking about doing it, I think in Delaware, we have with US Soccer, there's like a facility there and a really great rehab, like therapist there, PT, that I think the men's players used often. US Soccer was like, listen, you have this option that we could do, or you can go back. And I said, well, because of my insurance reasons, and I know at the time there was just like an issue with my health insurance that I actually had to go back to Germany and do my rehab there. But it was actually so amazing because I was at a facility in Frankfurt, which was basically a hub in Germany for a lot of athletes, professional athletes to come to, at this specific facility called R2. And it was a lot of the other professional men's players who were injured all around the country who came there to do like, and it was like a 9-to-5 job. So I had my rehab in the morning, like it was kind of like the, you know, manual work and massage and things like that. And then I would have lunch there. And then after lunch, I would do my lifting program and, you know, any running that I would have to do. And they also had like an option where you would run in sand, or the field was right next door. So it was actually a facility that was incredible and set up, you know, it was impossible for me not to get the best care. And so that on the mental side, I think really helped because I was still attached with the women's team where I could go to their training, I could be motivated and still feel like I belong there. I still feel like I was progressing. And then we actually had a second team within Frankfurt, the club that I did my return to play model with. So I would play a certain amount of minutes with the second team to prep me then for the first team. And so their model there is obviously, hopefully we can get there one day with the NWSL. Like I know we can get there, but it was just a really good situation. So I think mentally, was it tough? It was, but I was really taken care of and I was really looked after. And I was, my return to play was very meticulous and particular. And I think that's what helped, I think, on the mental side of the game.
Yeah. Okay. My next question, Sam, before, and then you can go.
I was going to say, I said, Lynn, I know you have a part two.
No, yeah. Okay, I think that, I guess you had more resources than I expected, but.
No. Yeah. I mean, here it's different, right? Like,
yeah,
hopefully it'll get to that point. Hopefully it'll get, and we're working towards that, but yeah, it's a lot different here.
So my second question is I feel like in the times where I haven't been selected for teams or like questioning, like you said, it's kind of like a breakup. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, how do I get through this? It's made me realize that like coaches' opinions are subjective and like I just have to believe in myself and put my head down and keep working. So my question to you is, when you weren't in for 2 years and then you got called back, like what lesson did you take from that moment?
Okay, so I probably could say this as just a human being, that football doesn't define me. And it's just what I do. It's not who I am. And we've spoken about this before, where I feel like I didn't want to attach my success with just being on the national team, because I valued, or I do value who I am as a person and a player and a teammate so much that just because a coach didn't like me for a certain amount of time doesn't mean I wasn't good enough to be there. And I think that's what I learned more about myself, that just because I'm not there doesn't mean I'm not good enough to be there just because of one or two people's opinion on me as a player. And I knew I had to separate that me as a player is a lot, not different, but I didn't want to attach my feelings as a human being to, you know, who I was as a football player at that time, because I wanted to, I'm still feeling valued and I feel like appreciated and I feel I love myself. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to go in this deep, dark hole just because someone wasn't inviting me into a soccer camp, you know. And I'm not lessening that, but I just want to make sure that even if you don't get invited, that doesn't mean you're not good enough to be there. And I had to kind of try to tell myself that constantly. So I learned to, I think, love myself a little bit more and give myself a little more grace. And yes, hold myself accountable and not deflect and really dig deep and say, okay, like I obviously need to work on something. But as a human being, I still felt valued and I felt, you know, enough during that time. That's what I learned, I think, the most.
That was amazing. That, Lynn, I'm so glad you asked that, because I feel like, Lynn, you've come to like a similar place of, I guess, realizing or accepting that. And it's been really cool for me as your friend to see you come to that. This is such a hard question, and I don't know if I could even answer this, but I'm going to ask you guys anyway. Okay. If you had to introduce yourself to somebody and not say that you were a professional soccer player, how would you like define yourself in that like exchange?
I would say, you know, my name's Allie and I am an activist. I fight for, you know, the right side and I want to impact women. I want to impact kids. I want to impact our youth and yeah, fight for issues that I believe in and fight for what's right and not be afraid to ruffle feathers and create change.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to follow that. That was
What would you say?
I literally just said that I couldn't do this, but Lynn, do you want to go?
Well, first of all, Krieger, I think those are so spot on out of knowing you. So that's great that you are self-aware.
Such a queen. Yeah.
I don't know. I would say that I, in less words, am somebody who, and this has taken me like a long time, and I feel like as I've gotten older, I've been able to do this more. Like, I just feel like I'm somebody who's going to just like let my light shine and hopefully it allows you to shine your light as well. And I think that I'm somebody who thinks there's enough cake for all of us to succeed. And I want to fight same as you, Ali, is for people who don't necessarily feel like they have a voice, and hopefully one day they will feel like they do by seeing that I am going to fight for them. And then I also would say I'm a silly good time.
I thought you were going to say a silly goose. And I was like, you are a silly goose, Lynn. That's exactly how I would describe
silly
you.
Silly good time.
Hi, my name is Lynn and I'm a silly goose. Okay, I would say, hi, I'm going to keep this one light. Hi, I'm Sam. I'm a dog mom.
No, Sam, go deep. Go deep.
I love talking to people. I love hanging out with people. I'm an extrovert and I love to read books. And I love to eat good food, and I would love to just go out to dinner and talk to people. And I think that that's kind of my like perfect time. Mm. Is that who I am? I don't know.
Dude, that is who you are.
Well, I'm working
on who you are, but you definitely are a deep talker. At the dinners, you will have a deep conversation.
Oh, I will ask you like almost too personal of a question.
I feel like I could talk to anybody too. Like people are always like, oh, I'm like, do you need a wing woman? Because I'm like, I would love that.
I'll come and
really
blab.
Good at it.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel awkward.
And, like, break the ice. Like, what do you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Sorry. We need to get back on track. My personal identity questions aside, Krieger, what is one workout you will never do again after you retire? Like, are you going to be sprinting on the treadmill? Please tell me no.
No. That's probably it. I probably won't do interval training at all.
But she will be doing lunges and
squats. Lynn, I were talking about. Yeah, and maybe I don't know. We were at like breakfast, and I was like, "You guys, I'm just really nervous after I retire that my butt's gonna be saggy, and it's kind of already started." I know, but you have to really stay on top of it. You gotta really
gotta stay on the butts.
At like you turn 30, and it's like,
let me tell you, I couldn't activate my hamstring after my surgery for 9 weeks. Let me tell you guys, I saw my hamstring jiggle in the mirror, and I got so sad. I went, it was so jiggly.
Sam, I bet.
Oh my God, I have tears.
I'm laughing with you, not at you.
I know. You guys, it was not cute. It wasn't good. I'm working on it now, though.
Okay, good.
It's active. It's activated right now.
Okay, good. I believe you and I trust you. And I know you're going to be back better than ever.
Oh, thanks, Kriegs.
Okay. Have you received any retirement gifts yet? And if so, what's the best one you've gotten so far?
No, I don't think I have. People are really slacking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, give us a minute.
But I think at the end of the year.
Yeah. We'll send you a snacks gift.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, what do you want then? Like, what is your dream retirement gift?
I want to go on a vacation because Ash and I still haven't even been on a honeymoon because we had to go right into camp after we got married.
That's tough.
Because we were prepping for what? Olympic qualifiers? And I was like, oh gosh. So we still haven't even, even really celebrated her retirement because we were like, well, let's just,
oh,
we
you guys
plan
need to
anything.
All
yeah, we
trip.
Need to like go to like the Maldives or something.
Yeah. If you could choose one teammate, past or present, to be stranded on a desert island with, who would it be and why? And it can't be Ashlyn.
Heather O'Reilly.
Oh my. Okay.
Oh my God.
Because we're like best. I know. And we were roommates and, we were like right side, strong side for so long. She's my ride or die for sure.
Do you guys still talk all the time?
No, I wish we could talk more, but because, you know, our lives are so wild right now. I just saw her when we were in North Carolina. So that was really
awesome.
Nice with Jack. And so that was just like so refreshing because you feel like you don't have to talk every day. But once you do catch up, it's like you pick up right where you left off.
Yeah, I also feel like if you were stranded on an island with her, like she would come up with these wild, crazy ideas, but then you would be like, okay, how do I put this into a plan? Like her crazy would be balanced out by your logic.
Yeah. And then we would be able to giggle and laugh and have such a good time because
that is so true.
She's
you guys must
hoot.
Just compliment each other.
Yeah.
I've never like thought of that before, but Lynn, that was like spot on. Do you remember when Heyo ate all my chicken salad?
Oh, have we ever told you the story, Krieger?
No. Oh my God, Krieger.
Wait,
one time
where? When?
In North Carolina, we had to like leave for a trip. So Heyo like came to my apartment, in Lynn's apartment, in between like practice and leaving for the trip. We had like an hour and I went in my room to like pack or take a nap or something.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think
and
you
I
were
came
there.
Out and she goes,
you weren't there. Remember? You were like, I have to go do something really quick. And I was like, okay, Heyo, you have to like, you can come over, but I'm going to pack or be in the room. And you told her, you told her, you go, I have
my chicken salad that's in the fridge.
Yeah, that needs to be eaten because we were going on this trip. And I went into the room and Hale was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Krieger, it was like 4 chicken breasts worth of chicken salad. Like I homemade it in a gallon Tupperware. And I had to eat it for lunch too. I was like, yeah, we need to eat it. Hale, like, you go have some. And I come home and it's like licked clean. And I was like, hey, oh, like, that was like too much chicken. Like, what are
Well, maybe
doing?
I can't bring her to the island because you all see her have slim chicken.
She literally, yeah. I came out of the room too. I came out of the room and she goes, Sam is going to be so proud of me. I ate all the chicken. And I was like,
and I was like, this. I was like, what? Hey, oh, you ate all my lunch too.
And we're going on a trip.
Yeah.
And now I got to go eat airport food.
Exactly. So now every time I see Hale, I'm like, what? Where's my chicken salad? All right, we need to move on. We're being pressured to move on. Krieger, we wanted to have you on partly because this episode is going to come out a few days before Mother's Day. So one, we wanted to just wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
And see if you have any traditions.
Well, not yet, but I think just spending time with the kids together, which we don't, you know, have very often where we have nothing else to do. So mm-hmm. I think just either being at home or like we'll go on a long walk with the family. Sometimes we'll stop and grab coffee together and just like enjoy some time for them to play and hang out. And then nothing specific. There's not, you know, anything that we really do. And we'll sometimes get little gifts for each other.
What's the one piece of advice you wish somebody gave you before you became a mom?
The not sleeping, people say like, okay, like good luck, like you're not, you know, you're not gonna sleep, you know, make sure you sleep when you can and this and that. And I actually really felt like that was a little more than what was said to us. I feel like we hadn't slept like at all. Like you just don't sleep. Either you're worried, and maybe this is just like the first few years, I don't really know, but even though the kids do sleep through the night, and they're pretty like good at that, like Sloan sleeps from 7 to 7, like I could throw in her crib,
go,
you
off,
know,
Sloan.
Like she's such a good sleeper and she could go in awake and she's like, good night mom, can you close the door, like see ya, and I'm like, yeah, you know,
love
you. I'll let you be, like, yeah, see you in the morning. And then Ocean, it just depends. He's only 10 months. And so now it's you know, we're kind of up and down. Maybe he gets up at like 5 or 4. He'll cry a little bit. And then you got to go in there and give him his fast, whatever. Besides the point, I just wish I knew that, like, you don't really sleep anymore. And I feel like it's been, you just start living in the state of exhaustion. Like, it's just the norm. And you actually have to, like, go perform. Like, you have to perform and be your best. And sometimes I get, like, 4 hours of sleep or 5 hours of sleep. So wow. I hope at one point, you know, it'll get better and we'll be able to all get some rest. But it's been hard. And I think people kind of say, well, you don't sleep that much. But no, like, you don't. Like, you just don't. And you have to learn how to. Yeah, it's real. And you don't have you have to just learn how to, like, figure it out. And something I want to go back on really quick, the amount of love that you have for your child is beyond. Like, I would do anything for both our kids. And you don't realize how much love you could have for somebody else. Like, I thought I loved Ashlyn so much. But I'm like, with our kids, I'm like, this is wild. You know? And we didn't even, like, give birth to them, right? Like, even when you adopt a child and you bring them into your family and your life and it's, like, you get to be their mom, I just, like, I love them so much. And I don't think you will realize that. Like, people tell you, but that's something else that I, like, wish people would really... I guess it's just a feeling, right? People aren't going to be like, oh. But that's something else that I really like about being a mom.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That was really sweet.
Somebody told me once, or there's like a study, or I don't really know, but that when you have a kid, your love, like you said, like the amount of love you have is unlike anything you've ever experienced, but it's also a direct correlation with the decrease of your happiness. Because you're like, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
So take that information with either, you but... and do with it as you will. Speaking of sleep, is there any baby snacks that aren't being talked about that we should be buying at the store to eat for ourselves?
Not baby snacks.
I don't know. Toddlers, babies. Is there like...
What did Alex say?
Alex said some yogurt thing.
What did she say?
Alex said something specific. Jay, do you remember? Does anybody remember what that was?
I love... They're not like baby snacks, but like the little like birthday cake muffins from like Entenmann's. I'm like, okay, oh, we shouldn't be giving Sloan those anyway. But I'm like, are you going to finish those? Because like I'm going to eat the entire pack. And then they have these cool new little like cheese and cracker packs that you can get them at like Costco from like Sargento or whatever. Done. I'm like, wine and cheese night. Okay, like I'll just open up one of Sloan's little cheese packs.
Yeah. Shout out to Sargento, by the way. I love ya.
I know. Send me some more.
Our producer just wrote in the script, I cannot picture Ashlyn Harris at a Costco.
Like, well, no. It's, I mean, on a Saturday morning, it's actually nice because you go and you know, whatever they serve, like on the corner, there's always like they're like giving free snacks out.
Yeah. Love it.
So I love that. But no, we usually Instacart everything because I just don't have time. I don't have time to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, you need to sleep. Okay, well, we're having Ashlyn on next week. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, she's pumped. She told me.
Yeah, we're very excited. We've been trying to schedule it with her for a while. She's a tough woman to get a hold of. Is there anything Ashlyn will be like, oh, I know the answer to this. I know Allie so well, but she kind of like doesn't know.
Oh, she doesn't think I brush my teeth as often as I do. She like... Yeah, I'm like, because she's like such a hygienic like woman, like she's very, she needs everything to be very clean and like, you know, has to have a clean space and like wash her face. There's a whole order for her bed night routine or morning routine, like everything. The house is like spotless, which I enjoy too, but like she watches, like she knows, she thinks she knows when I brush my teeth and like sometimes... Like, maybe I'll skip, like, by accident in the morning because Ocean was up and I needed to, like, go get him up, and I'll brush it, like, after my coffee or something.
Yeah.
But she thinks I, like, never brush my teeth.
I'm going to go, how does Krieger have such a nice smile when she never brushes her teeth? And she's going to go, sis, I don't know.
And she'll be like, she'll do that with her hand.
That's, like, such a weird thing for her to, like, not believe you.
It's so weird. I know. I, like... She'll be like, oh, well, I don't know. She'll be like, well, I didn't hear your toothbrush. I'm like, well, because you're like scrolling on your phone, probably. Like, I don't know. You're not even in here.
Does Ashlyn have like a look that you wish you could rock, or are you just like, can't like, rock anything?
No, anything and everything that she wears. I'm like, how? She's always like, you can't go baggy with baggy. Like, she'll like help me pick out a lot of my outfits. I know. I'm always like telling her, like, does this look cute? And she's like, I don't know if you should like, it just seems like you're trying too hard. And then sometimes I'll put on an outfit and she'll be like, whoa, you look great. You look really cute. Like, and I feel so good about myself because it's coming from her. I'm like, whoa, do I? And then it like makes me second guess. But she's so stylish and so, like, she just sees an outfit. Like, we'll go, I don't know, she'll, like, go into my closet and be like, here, put this on. Try this with this. And I'm like, I never would have thought it. And I put it on and I'm like, holy shit. Like, how? Like, this, how can you do that?
That is so cool. I feel like I'm kind of having, like, a fashion awakening. Don't get too excited. Because I'm just kind of like, who cares? Like, people wear weird shit literally every day and people tell them they look cool, so like, why don't I just fucking try and wear my flare jeans with this weird button up?
You can.
Who cares?
I know.
I don't know if it looks good, but like, I like it.
Dress well for yourself.
I love that journey for you. That's
thanks, you guys. Appreciate
and
that
I'm gonna take I'm gonna take some of that confidence because no, sometimes I'll just be like, I don't, Ash, like, this is what I'm happy in, like, I'm gonna wear this. No, but like, I'm making her sound like she's not supportive of my outfit. Like, she like loves me so much and like I'm so like grateful. But I ask her opinion a lot on my clothes and she goes, just try this instead. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I love that. A live-in guide.
What would you describe her style as and what would you describe your style as?
I would say hers is like sexy, sporty, chic. I don't know. It's like, I don't really know. I mean, I think it's like sporty chic, but like she always looks like
glam.
It's like easy to put together. Yeah, it's always, and I think it's her accessories
like
too.
Effortless glam.
Yeah, it's like sporty chic glam. I don't know.
What's yours?
I'm more of this like, oh, actually, I would think she's like sporty, like street style, you know, like street like glam. I would say hers is like street glam. Mine, I would be like just sporty spice. I don't know. Sporty
chic. Fashion.
I don't know.
Sporty.
Comfy. I don't know. I just don't want to turn into like the suburban mom look. Like I'm trying to still be like street cute, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want to be like a badass mom, like street chic.
You are. This is our last thing for you, Krieger.
Okay.
Do you want to leave a nice voicemail for Ashlyn on snacks and we'll play
We'll
play it for her on her episode.
Yes, I do.
Okay, go.
Hi, babe. I love you so much. I just adore you. And I am so happy that you are now able to share a little time with two of our faves and get some time away from the kids for a little bit. But just know I'm always thinking of you. I miss you so much and I can't wait to see you when you're done. Love you.
Thank you so much, Krieger. That was really, really cute.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Krieger, so.
Okay, show me how to do like a proper chomp.
Oh, we go like this. Do you want to do it all together or can you do it on your own?
Oh, I can do it on my own, whatever you want.
Okay, go do it on your own.
Just like do it. Okay.
Holy shit. That was like so good and aggressive and I like friggin' loved it so much. Okay, Krieger, thank you so much for joining us on Snacks. The rest of you, don't go anywhere. There is more snacks right after this.
Welcome back to Snacks. Like we said, we have a special surprise. Our moms are coming on. It's a wild time. Here it is.
Hi, Chris. It's so nice to see you.
How about you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah, why don't you guys welcome yourselves to Snacks?
Melissa, you go first, and then Mom, you go second. Ready, go.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and I'm Sam's mom, and I'm so grateful to be on this, and happy Mother's Day to me.
That was very cute, Mom. Okay, Chris, your turn.
I am Chris. I am Lynn's mom, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm so excited. So thank you, Lynn and Sammy, for having us on.
Oh my gosh, girls. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to our mamas.
Oh no, Mom. Where'd you go? She was showing us where you came from, Sam.
I'm sorry. I had to stand up. I had a cramp. I did some sit-ups today, and I had a cramp in my stomach. I have to try to keep up with you girls.
Oh, my gosh. Mom, so you worked out today? You just did some sit-ups?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Oh, what else did you do this morning?
It's a constant battle. Today, we went on the tandem, Dad
nice.
And I.
Nice. Cute. How far did you go?
Usually, we go about 20 in the morning. We go through Wampatuck State Park. It's beautiful. We see deer.
My parents met at Wampatuck State Park on a run, and now they ride a double bike through the woods there. Isn't that lovely?
Through
Mom,
the woods.
Mom, can you just center yourself a little bit more in the square?
How come I'm little?
I don't know. Me and Lynn were FaceTiming last night preparing for this, and we like thought you guys' cameras were going to do what you always do on FaceTime where you like hold
be down
it like
here.
This down here and talk to us like this. But you're both doing so great.
Mom, you're just like off the side. Like, why aren't you in the center of the little square?
I don't know.
Like, you need to just move the other way. Like, move the opposite way than you think you need to go. The opposite way.
How's
your
that?
Your body. No, your body. There you go.
Chris, you're full. You know why I was sitting over there is my legs were up on the chair.
Oh, too comfy. She got too comfy.
Yeah.
Too comfy.
So now you went and get good to my back. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Okay. How's that? Am I better? Perfect.
Yeah, you're perfectly great.
Okay. What did you do today, Mom? Or, I mean, it's really early. So my mom is in California. It is 8 a.m. How'd well, you sleep? What are you doing today?
I am actually subbing today, and the guy has a first period prep, so I'm going to go and do English 11th and 12th. And if you know anything about me, it is my worst subject.
Well, that's where I got my dyslexia from. So there's the lady right there.
Yes, definitely. So anyways, I'm going to go down there so I can do some flying around. I need airplane money.
Well, okay, while we have you guys on here, we do have one question we want to ask each of you. Chris, I am curious if you think you could tell me, Lynn's self-appointed best friend, something that I don't know about her.
Something that you don't know about her? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. How she broke all of her bones?
I do know she's broken a lot of bones, but I probably don't know them all.
We don't need to name them. It's fine. It's
okay.
Maybe something else. How about maybe something from like my childhood.
Oh, what about her little finger?
You know that she was born with six fingers.
Do you know that?
What?
No. Have you told me that?
I feel like I have. But now the snack world knows.
I'm sorry.
That's a big
one. Can you start from the beginning and tell us this whole story?
Well, so her father was born with six fingers, and they have little nubbins on the side that actually have like nerve endings that come out of them. And so Jessica, her older sister, was born with, and I call it a purple dingleberry. And then it was basically
a deformed finger. And she had one like deformed finger and one normal one.
And one normal one. And so always the first thing, because I didn't know the sex of my children. So the first question would be, is it a boy or a girl? It's a little girl. And how many fingers do they have? And then they would all like get scared. Like, what are you talking about? Like, are they deformed? And I'm thinking, no, I want to know if they have the little, and I don't know the name of it. Jessica knows the name.
The little purple dingleberry.
Apparently it's like a, not it's genetic, but what am I trying to say? Like it's in
normal
African people like that.
Oh,
yeah.
But anyways, this is my like scar. You've seen that before. You see it?
I know I'm acting like I've never heard this before, but it's partly because I feel like I've never heard this before.
Well, I'm not going around being like, look at my finger scar.
So here's
well,
the
that
deal.
Is amazing.
If you ever are mad at them, well,
no.
Okay, I won't say it.
It has Marley. A lot of nerve endings, so if I like hit it, it really hurts.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, I would like to move on from this.
I know, Chris, you have succeeded in telling me something I didn't know.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, that's Melissa, can you tell me something? And can you top that?
I didn't think so.
There's no way I can top that. All I remember about Sam when she was a baby is she had this growth on the back of her neck, and they called it a cyst, and it was red. And we would go to church, and people would be like, is that going to go away? And Uncle Bill was just, every time we saw Uncle Bill, he was so concerned.
Why are you guys outing our deformities?
Yeah, you guys, what?
It came with birth. It was a birth mark.
Defect.
That had stuff in it. It was like a cyst.
But did it go away?
Oh, it's totally gone now.
Yeah. Otherwise, when you put your hair in a pony.
Hanging
out.
Well, I'm regretting bringing you guys on.
This has taken a turn.
You were probably looking for something like, I don't know, emotional or something, but you got.
I thought
what
you guys were going to say something like when they were younger, when Lynn was younger, she blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
No, you know what I could say? This is a huge.
No, you've already shared one. You don't get another one.
Let's give her one. Let's give her one more try.
Okay, go on.
You know what I knew? Lynn was an athlete. Is because she could walk before she was 8 months old.
Wow.
7 days before she was 8 months old, she started to walk. Wow. And she had a little six pack as a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Not me. She did.
That one doesn't surprise me.
Wow.
There's another one. I think those are two phenomenal things. Did I do good?
Yeah, that was
great.
That
was great.
I want another one.
Yeah, go on.
I want another one. Okay, go. I want to know.
Did you know that Samantha dressed up as a giraffe when she was in middle school?
Oh, my God.
Sam, that is so funny. For like Halloween?
Honestly, like probably not. Like probably just did it well, during I dressed a normal up- day, and that's why I had no friends.
I dressed up as a cow two Halloweens in a row. So we're like same, but different.
Yeah. Fair enough. I dressed up as Tom Brady, Lance Armstrong.
Mia Hamm,
Michelle Akers.
That's my girl.
People were like, we get it. You love sports.
We're going to move on from this because that got really wild.
Oh my gosh.
Can you guys, do you have a story that you guys would like to share of you guys hanging out together and watching me and Sam play soccer? A nice, lovely story where you guys were so proud as mothers?
You mean when I was with Chris?
Yes.
Like somewhere out?
No, like if you guys watched us play in a championship game, maybe that would be a good story. And we were succeeding and you guys got to be proud moms.
Me and Lynn trying to psych ourselves up now.
I can remember a couple of those championship games, but I don't remember sitting at the game. It was always the after party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tell us those stories, girls.
am I right?
Yes.
And we'd always be at the bar. And we one time were watching Sam. I remember the bar, but I don't remember the game. And Sam, you had two fists full of beer.
That sounds like Sam.
That would be totally Sam. We would just always giggle. Moms are so proud of their babies no matter what they're doing. But to watch you at the after parties were pretty funny because we were just kind of like looking back at all of, we call you guys kids. Am I right?
Yes. And oh, so much fun. So proud of you.
Has it been weird now that we're older? So like when you saw Sam with two beers and she was able to drink legally?
Yeah.
Were you like, okay.
No, at that time, I remember she was getting ready to go back to the hotel and she goes, your husband was going to take care of you. I don't have to worry about it. He's got her. It was before you were married.
Yeah. You put a lot of trust into Pat on that one. He was probably worse off than I was. Mom, what do you think about the podcast? Like, how would you describe snacks?
Oh, I just love snacks. I feel like I can just hang out with you and Lynn, and you're just so honest. And the people you have on, you have a way of getting them to be honest as well. I absolutely love it. I feel like I go into this little like locker room area and I'm just like sitting there and I just get to hear it all and I just love it. I'm just proud of you girls. I think you're so brave being such public figures and role models. You just put it all out there and you don't really care what people think. You're just being yourself.
Thank you, Mom. That was so sweet.
Mom, do you have a favorite episode?
Well, there's a lot of them. I've listened to them all. I'm sure, Melissa, you've done the same thing. I loved when you had Midge on. I've really liked Megan Rapinoe. You guys have had really good conversations. I liked Andy Sullivan's. I mean, I just could go down the list. I think you're right. They have a way of surrounding themselves with women that have made them better people. And I think that that's really cool to see who your friends are and why you guys are so special. Because you're not just, you know, like, you've got two kids. And I can see Christy and you, Melissa, so much when you're talking.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
But
oh, neat.
When you watch both of your children, they're so different. And I can see just how you guys are very special kids, just doing your thing and grown up. And yeah.
That was very sweet.
That was so
thank
nice, you guys.
I have a confession.
Oh, yeah.
I love this.
I was uptight when I watched the most recent one with Christy because I get uptight. I don't know what is going to come out of their mouths. I was like sweating in the car, honestly.
Wasn't it so good though, Mom? Wasn't it nice to hear Christy be so like open?
Yes. And I think she relieved a lot of the pressure when she moved on to the eyebrows, and that was absolutely phenomenal. I love to hear her about the honesty about the World Cup as well. So yes, I'm a little prejudiced about liking that one a lot, but I also like Julie Foudy's. I like how she talked about why she picked her career path. I loved Megan Rapinoe's. It was just so real. I wanted that to continue. I loved so many of them. Keep up the good work, guys.
Oh,
definitely.
Well, we get it from you guys.
number one listeners.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. We have to get you guys something for Mother's Day. So me and Sam will reconvene after this and figure out what that's going to be.
Make a plan.
Mom, thank you so much for all that you do for me and all the support that you've given me. I know how much sacrifice you've given me in the soccer world, but also off the soccer world and just in my life. So thank you so much. I just appreciate
you.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
That was so sweet. Mom, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I know that you are always my biggest fan and you'll always be in my corner and you'll be on my side no matter what I did. So thank you for everything, for raising me. I hope you both have such a great Mother's Day week and a great Mother's Day always.
Thank
you. And happy
you.
Mother's Day to that all the so mothers nice. Out
thank
there.
You. Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was really sweet. Thank you for having us. I love you girls.
We love you both.
Absolutely. We love you guys. We love need you to just do one last thing. We need you guys to do a chomp.
One, two, three.
That was so good. Thank you guys. Okay, thank you so much to our moms for coming on. And to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day. Next week on the podcast, it's week 8. We go from one side of the couple to the other with Ashlyn Harris.
Don't forget to rate and review. And one last thing, boil girl, boil neck girl.
I'll just tell you about another body situation that I'm having. I got armpit chafing when I was swimming the other day.
Oh my gosh. In the game against Chicago, I was chafing too. I was like, this game needs to end. I'm chafing.
I need a sub. I'm chafing. Please take me out.
Oh, it's the worst. It's literally the worst.
Yeah, it's not great. We needed to get an anti-chafe situation happening.
Christy comes up to me and I go, I'm chafing. She goes, from what? Literally my thighs, Christy.
Okay, Christy. All right, thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast. Snacks is produced by Jay Wolf, Lauren Day, Patrick Cavino, and John Murray. For more great women's sports content, go to justwomensports.com and be sure to follow Just Women Sports on all your favorite channels. I'm Sam Uys.
And I'm Lynn Williams, and you've been listening to Snacks.